99.3 Nigeria, in for Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you. Compliment of the season to you once again for those planning already. I was somewhere yesterday and they were talking about chickens and buying chickens and buying chicken. And they were calling, you know, prices of one chicken for like 15K. I was like, 15,000 naira for one chicken, as in live chicken. Like, some people are claiming that they are not hearing what I'm saying now. Good morning to you, sir.
What has I got to do? I was even thinking you were referring to, because on Friday I'm going to have my trio, Isioma the Butcher, Ikeru the Farmer, and possibly Esme, who has a restaurant, to talk about food prices.
Yeah.
So I thought that was what you were referring to. Then all of a sudden you say chicken, somebody is pretending.
You know, this season you're supposed to be handing over, you know, some...
No, they say...
Hampers with chickens.
They say in Yoruba that when Okete gets older, it sucks the breath of the younger one. You are the one who's supposed to give me a chicken. You've set a trap for yourself.
Well, the thing is that...
And I don't like chicken, for information. I prefer turkey.
What's
turkey?
Why? If I may ask.
I don't like either.
You don't like either?
I don't like either. Not hot on chicken or turkey.
No. So you don't like lean meat at all? You like red meat?
I'm a carnivore. I like ram.
It's red meat. Okay.
Ram. Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. But you know that you can... Let's just go. 7:33. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria 8499.3. That's where you can watch on all of those things. You don't like goat meat?
Nah, I think sometimes that's a terrible odor long after you
eat. Goat?
It leaves a taste in the mouth.
How about cow meat?
I'm tired. I've been eating all my life. You eat it every day. Generally, I'm off food. Generally, I just eat functionally now. 2-3-4 spoons and off I go. For a coin now, it'll soon be your turn. You know, as you grow older, it takes longer for you to digest all this.
Yes, so yes.
You stick to the liquids. Mm.
What we're going to do is we're going to find time to go on, you know, some walk around here. I'll just come to your house and I'll say, oh yeah, let's just take a walk and we'll just walk around.
Philip will follow you on my behalf. Yeah, let's go.
What I see is that we need to do some walking more.
I guess so. I get the message. Yeah. Touch wood. Bingo.
Yeah.
I get back to you. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Let's start with Vanguard page 8. This day, APC media team spat. NGE, NUJ make case for professionalism, free press. That story is in the Vanguard newspaper this morning. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm actually caught between two friends, two colleagues in this. Okay, so what is going on now is that the owners of This Day newspaper and Arise newspaper, you know, I think the company is called Leaders and Thoughts. Okay, so there's this big bat and spat going on between them and the APC media team, specifically Bayo Onanuga and Dele Alake. And I think the two of them have enough debts to throw at each other, which makes very interesting read. But for those of us who are insiders, nothing is a surprise between the two things that the people are talking about. All this came about, you know, because, okay, the Arise team invited Asiwaju, you know, for the debate or town hall meeting between, you know, for all the presidential candidates.
That's right.
And then in rejecting the, you know, in turning down the invitation, the APC team said over and above everything is that they will not be bullied into, and I wonder who Asiwaju was referring to when he said, oh, they wanted to money out of me. But like I said, for those interested in media matters, it makes very interesting read. There's enough mud going around to keep you fully entertained. Stay out of the way so you don't get caught in between. But I think the most important thing for us right now is to stay focused on the campaigns. That's for us outsiders, and not be distracted by this, what I'll call to a large extent, brickback academic exercise between the two teams. Oh, you need to see the debt that they are throwing at each other. Most of it cannot even, I don't think I want to get involved reading it, accusing each other of all kinds of practices on both sides, on both sides. So like I said, keep yourself entertained if you want. The Vanguard has a full report. Indeed, this day took like a 3-page ad in almost all the papers, including Daily Trust, to make their point. And I suspect that the Tinubu team will do so likewise. It's none of our business, really, for those of us who are more interested in the election than any other thing. If the APC team don't want to go to our rights, fair enough, it's within their rights to do so, but we hope they'll turn up at others.
They haven't turned up at others.
So that is the issue.
And there's been some others, but they have not
turned up. They have not turned up at any, except, of course, the famous Chatham House. We have a fair idea of what it's all about, if not a full idea. Nobody's stupid. Nobody is a dunderhead here. And therefore, I keep saying to the APC team, all these shakara tactics and bullying tactics, in all honesty, what it does is that for right-thinking people, they begin to think that something's just not right. And they need to correct that. Rather than get involved in this, and like I said, for those of us, we know all the debt that is going back and forth is out there in public domain anyway. It's something that's already been known. So, yes, okay, it provides entertainment, but we should stay focused on the campaign. Like I said, and I state it here clearly, Asiwaju has the right not to turn up at any event. He has the right. He didn't turn up at the Peace Accord, didn't turn up here and there. And so that's within his rights. Okay, but we also now have the right to determine the things that will make us cast votes for any candidate. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Arise and This Day are not the only medium that have this. If he would like, he can decide not to turn up at any. But for me, Shao, anybody who doesn't come, who I don't see, at what I would call not something arranged by them. You can't dictate these things to people all the time. It's within your rights, but people also, it's within their rights to make up their minds what they are going to make out of this. But for me, I still go with that same slogan: no debate, no vote. I cannot vote blindly. I must be able to see. You know, I must be able to, it's just common intelligence. Before the so-called supporters go wild on Twitter again, it's just common intelligence. You expect me to vote when I've not seen somebody expatiate on the issues that matter? Would there be something wrong with me? Even if I was the least educated, some gentleman from somewhere said the other day, in the villages, it is important that the supporters know that we are not saying who is going to win the election. They seem to think that is a competition. It is not. For us, the voters, it is a crucial decision on our future. So to come with bravado to say that, and this attitude that whether you vote or not, they will win, is a very dangerous strategy. I repeat, it's a very dangerous strategy, because what it does is that it could even create problems should the gentleman even win fair and square. People will be referring to, there must have been something that, there must have been something that he did or whatever that, put up all that bravado and so on and so forth. And that is why I appeal to the APC, to the APC team, to go back home and re-strategize, be less aggressive, be more accommodating. This thing is not done by, there's this saying that says empty vessels make the most noise. Mm. You don't want to go that way. You don't want to do that. I mean, if for God's sake, APC is a government in power. So you have very little to prove. There is enough. Your candidate was a one-time governor, two times. There is enough for people to judge him by. So going with boxing gloves and boxing every time to box everybody in the corner, all he does really and truly is just provide entertainment. So as far as this is concerned, I just felt compelled to, to comment on it. Otherwise, for me, it's just some form of entertainment. Nice language, nice use of words. Enough debt to go around for you to sneak at. But please, make sure that these are not the issues that are going to make you cast your vote. Open your eyes and sit back and think deeply, real, real deeply, before you cast that vote next year.
Let's move on to the punching paper on the business and economy page. Withdrawal limits, POS operators, Falano head for court, Gbajabiamila faults Emefiele.
Now we have run into a brick wall. We have run, and when it gets to these legal issues, of course, I don't know anything. What they will call Ogberi. I don't know anything about law. Okay, but Falano argues in a statement entitled Maximum Withdrawal Limit in Nigeria is 5 million. He called on President Buhari to direct the APS Bank to withdraw the legal guidelines. He says that it is embarrassing that the CBN has been making announcements without any regard to the Constitution and other relevant laws on the national economy. It is particularly worrisome that the governor of the CBN has purportedly placed a limitation on cash withdrawals in Nigeria in complete defiance of Section 2 of the Money Laundering Act 2022, which provides that no person or body corporate shall accept in a transaction through a financial institution, make or accept cash payment of a sum exceeding 5 million naira or its equivalent in the case of an individual, or 10 million as equivalent in the case of a body corporate. I can't argue with Falana on this. I'm not a lawyer. Okay, I can't argue with this, but I'm asking myself, if the CBN governor did not consult the Minister of Finance, according to what she said on this issue, I jolly well imagine he probably didn't even consult the Attorney General to find out if it was within his powers to do so. Okay? So, there's going to be a lot of tidying up to do legally. But I think that in principle, it makes sense to me. We might have to tweak it. We might have to do all kinds of things. But I also think that we shouldn't succumb to political pressure, especially from... We know the danger of having cash flowing around, the least of it being security. Because the idea these days in the world is to trace every dollar to a person. Okay? And we know what happens at elections when there's a lot of money to be given out at polling booths and so on and so forth. But I think between Falano and all others, they will tidy this up, hopefully before the 2023 elections. What I suspect is, whilst all this is going on, knowing politicians very well, they start harvesting the new currency, you know, before the rule applies. Yeah. They try and harvest as much as they can. Heaven help us in this country. In all honesty, heaven just help us. Our greatest problem in this country is the ruling class. To be honest, let's be honest with ourselves. People say it's a reflection of us as a people. I am not too sure about that. I think that they've just kind of boxed everybody into the corner and taken over the narrative, taken over the media, taken over everything, bullying everybody into submission. But we'll see how it goes. And the story also here says that Gbajabiamila kicks. Says the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Femi Gbajabiamila, has criticized the controversial policy recently introduced by the CBN, which, amongst others, sets limit to cash withdrawals and so on and so forth. And the story here says that the House had last Thursday asked the CBN to suspend the policy's launch until the lawmakers conclude their investigations. That is food for thought. The politicians will never support this. They won't. So forget it. And that is why it's important, once we have our eyes on the presidency, it's important who you vote for to represent your interests, not his interests. Don't make it a lucky dip for politicians. Don't make it a ticket to riches for politicians. It's your interest. It is important. In fact, we keep saying sometimes that the National Assembly is even much more important than the presidency itself. It's your interest you should think of. And I hear a lot of things. For example, one of the reasons why people vote, oh, so-and-so paid my hospital bill, he did that. Even if my son is running for presidency and I think that he's not competent enough, I won't vote for him, because I need to look at the overall picture. It's like saying that you love a son so much, without a driver's license, you give him a Rolls Royce to drive or a Ferrari. That's what it is. So let's get our minds tweaked. It's not about showing gratitude to the candidate. That shouldn't be the reason for voting. That somebody, you donated this or that at your church, whatever. It's not, and you say he's a kind person. These people you call kind persons and whatever it is, the question to ask is it their monies that they have used in expressing this kindness? They paid your hospital bill, they paid your this, whilst in office. Of course it's not. Of course it's not. In fact, there's a flip side to look at it to say that, oh, this is probably where a lot of our government sources have been frittered. And they use this to endear themselves, okay, to endear themselves to the public. Fair enough. It's fair game. We are the ones who should put on our thinking caps. Like I said, don't vote for somebody because you love the way he dresses or the way he sounds or whatever. Ask yourself, this guy that I'm... Treat the guy you are voting for as your employee. To say that if I set up a company, would I make this man or lady, would I appoint him the general manager to go and run this place? Because it's not about gratitude. It's not that because, okay, I love Sheriff and so on, I will vote for him. No, like I said, if my son is running for election and I think he's not competent, I will look him straight in the eye and tell him, sorry, Omo, I can't vote for you. Because, like I said, it's like buying a Ferrari and giving it to somebody who doesn't know how to drive and has no driver's license, and you tell him to hit the express.
If you're just joining us, you're welcome. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. Just type in Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms and you can join us. Quite a robust engagement going on those two platforms and our live streams on those two platforms. Let's get back to the punch. This story reads, government stops COVID-19 mandatory tests for travelers.
Yeah, okay, so this must be good news because what it means is that you can go in and out of Nigeria now without hindrance. Okay, all the COVID protocols have been dropped. And the letter reads, COVID-19 travel testing pre-departure and post-arrival tests are no longer required for all passengers, irrespective of vaccination status.
Yes, sir.
So you can go and come as you wish, because it really has, when you do arrive in Nigeria, to first of all do COVID clearance before you go to immigration and so on and so forth. All that has been thrown out of the window. And it says that it further noted that aside from the suspension of COVID-19 tests, wearing face masks is no longer mandatory for passengers on board aircraft. Most people didn't obey that anyway. Okay. And so that's what it is. But there's a second story here that is joined to it. If Sheriff doesn't mind, I'll read the headline.
That's right.
It says Nigerians abroad can return with expired passports. So what we've run into a passport crisis. So what it means is that if you have an expired passport that could easily have been reviewed with just a rubber stamp to say renewed for the next 5 years, it just says just come with your old passport and you can go through the borders. There's a backlog of, I hear people are giving March, April dates to come for what they call capture, that is your photographs and so on and so forth. Some have even suggested that perhaps banks should be issuing Nigerian passports and so on and so forth. How banks would know how to operate under the Immigration Act, I honestly don't know. But we need to tweak this whole process. It's like when you get to the airport, you first of all have to go and get clearance from one DSS official. When you leave that, you're now going to queue again for when all this could have been put in one computer, could have been put in one system. You put your passport, like even in Ghana, they have it. You put your passport on it, the doors open and off you go. If you have any questions to be answered, then you go see the man behind the mask. That's the way it should be done. But we are so ancient in the things that we do. So it makes traveling. And don't forget that here we are as a country, we keep talking about FDIs. Is it DFIs or FDIs? Foreign direct investment and so on and so forth. It starts from travel. You need to know the kind of money that some countries make from travel and tourism. Like Gambia, that's the only thing they sell. That's the only thing that is sold in Gambia. They don't have oil, to the best of my knowledge. So we need to get this right. I don't know. A discreet inquiry from, because sometimes when I get to the airport, I call people aside and say, why don't we? They said, look, we have everything that it takes to put all these things together in one fell swoop. I said, so what's the problem? They say, it's the powers that be. Oh, going traveling in and out of Nigeria, it gives you a headache. it gives you a headache. Real headache. And who is going to bail the cat to get this country reorganized? I honestly don't know. So that's what it is. Two things. You don't need the COVID test in and out. And also, if you have, because we have loads of our people who are listening abroad, if you have your Nigerian passport, no matter if it's expired or not, you can show up at the border post and you'll be stamped in. The question is, can you still go out with that expired passport? I think Oga Kwata-Kwata here will call one of the officials at some point to explain that process. But all at least you can come back home for Christmas.
At least you can. Let's take the Vanguard story. Politicians inducing voters with money buying PVCs. INEC.
I heard you this morning.
Yeah.
And I like what you said. If anybody buys your PVC, he's not likely to put it to good use with the system that we have now. What he just wants to do, like Sheriff said, is to harvest the votes that they think might be against them. Yeah, you know. So, but why do you want to sell your right? Why do you want to sell your PVC? Even if you have a PVC and you don't want to vote, you could. There could be another election in which you jolly well would say, "Ah, that's this right. time around I want that's to." Right. So don't sell your PVC. For people who are ready to, for some people who are ready to sell even their organs. You remember the story of the two ladies?
Yeah.
That says, but we shouldn't get that desperate, please. I don't think we should get that desperate. Don't forget that one day you could wake up and there'll be a directive that if you don't have a PVC, you can't get something done.
Mm.
So hold your PVC. Don't sell it for... How much do they sell the thing, sir? Let me see if they put any amount there. No, but maybe it'll be something like 5K.
Like 5K, yeah. Like 5K.
Don't do that. So hold on to your PVC. It's not compulsory for you to vote. It is nice for you to vote, but it's not compulsory. But remember, if you don't vote, you cannot have a say in governance. It's as simple as that. So we'd like to appeal to, you know, we know that times are hard, you know, but is it that one meal that you're going to eat? Because the truth of the matter is that if you are eating two portions of rice and one pomo before, the moment they give you the 5K in any case, when you get there, say, no, not like before. The thing about sudden money is that it goes like that.
Yeah.
It just goes like that.
That's poor man's understanding.
Long after that, then you'll be wondering why you did it. And so, yes, since politicians are buying, what INEC needs to do in conjunction with the DSS, like the DSS did in the area of this fuel scarcity, what they need to do is go after these politicians and make an example out of them. We keep hearing these accusations, and it's as if you don't have any capable hands that can enforce laws and enforce discipline in society. It's not enough for you to put figures and say that this is what they are doing. Arrest 20 of them, especially the backbones. Arrest 5, 6, 7. Bring that, showcase them, and you will, you know, everybody will sit up. I also don't know if you'll be breaking the law by selling your PVC. I know you'll be breaking the law by buying, but I don't know if you'll be breaking the law by selling. We might need a lawyer to explain that. Maybe a call to Libros during the week would help.
That should be aiding and abetting.
That's it now, Betting.
Yeah, it should be.
What's your degree that you have? Is it not chemistry? Let the law.
I don't have a degree in law now.
Everybody can see my hands are up. I said, did you call somebody like Liberals or GT? You said it should be aiding and abetting. Are you a policeman? But in all honesty, when I hear all these accusations left, right, and center, let's start exposing people. At the very least, let's name and shame. At the very least.
let's take this story before we go. No, I can't. We can't. No, we can't. Well, I'll just mention it. History in Schools, welcome back. That story is in the Daily Trust.
It's the editorial of the Daily Trust, yes.
But we have to go now. We must go.
I'll take that editorial. Yeah, at 9:30.
At 9:30, Abby.
Yes, because it's very vital. Especially my major worry about history back in school is who determines the curriculum.
Yeah.
Our politicians are very dangerous. We don't want them teaching our children wrong things.
Like, you know? What story should be in there? What story shouldn't be
in
there?
Shouldn't be in there.
What version?
What perspective?
Yes.
It's very, very dangerous. So we'll take it up at 9:30.
All right, brilliant. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. Lagos, let's go to break. When we return, we'll speak with the resident electoral commissioner, Rec of INEC in Lagos State, and he can throw some light on some of the things as regards PVC collection that started yesterday and some of your questions as well. That's coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in a moment.
Listen to this to